I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's the way I felt this morning. What a wonderful blessing and privilege it is to be with all of you, dear folks. There are many of you here that I personally go back a long ways with. There's my family is here. There's people that feel like my family. And I have dear friends that go back years, and then the saints of God. Yes. We are a blessed people today. Yes, I'm thankful to be here. It's my privilege to be here, for my family to be here, to be with all of you today. I'm humbled to be here, and yet I'm encouraged this morning in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm encouraged in the power of the gospel. And I want more than anything to be a hand, a piece of clay in the potter's hand. And I desire your prayers this morning. I have a message that I want to share with you that has been on my heart. It's a serious message. I want to make it to heaven. I want you to make it to heaven. There is nothing else in life, folks, that is worth giving our souls in exchange. And it is very important that we are honest with ourselves. If we're not honest with ourselves and with God, we're going to find ourselves in a very unfortunate place. I want to be honest. I want you to be honest. And I ask for your prayers this morning that you would have an open heart to receive what the Lord would have for you. I'd like to start this morning and read a verse, one verse out of Exodus 32 and 26. Exodus 32 and 26 says, "Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him." Are you completely on the side of God this morning? Or do you find yourselves at times aligning yourself with those things that you don't feel completely comfortable that the Lord would put His hand of approval upon? You see, it's important for us to know what side we're on. Because there is a difference. There isn't just one side. There is a side of those that have aligned themselves with the Almighty God. And there is the other side. And it is going to mean more to me and to you than to have a testimony of I am on the Lord's side. But it is going to begin to point to what I have separated myself from and what I have separated myself to. I want to separate myself from everything that is unlike my Lord. And I want to separate myself to everything that is like my Lord. Because when He comes back, I want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." I want the Lord to be able to look at me and say, "Rod, you made it. Rod, we talked with each other this morning. Well, we communed with each other yesterday and you made it. Welcome. Welcome to your heavenly home." Don't you want to hear that? Is there anything worth passing that up? I remember driving to work one day several years ago and I saw a sign on the side of the road. And it said, "Try Jesus. If you don't like Him, Satan will always take you back." Well, I have a testimony for you this morning. I've tried Jesus. I love Him. I love His way. And I don't need a backup plan. I don't need a backup plan of somewhere else to go. There is one strong city that is able to stand, and that is the city of God. And that is the city where I want to abide. And I want that to be the city where you choose to abide. Because make no mistake this morning, we are each one making a choice. You're making a choice. I don't believe in a lot of neutral decisions, if you will. It's very convenient so many times to say, well, I don't think this matters to the Lord. And I don't think He's so concerned about which way I go in this thing. And I ask myself, why would I say that to myself in the first place? God is concerned about the route that you choose. He is concerned about the decisions you make. You know why? Because He wants you to make it to heaven. He wants you to choose the right way. I want to choose the right way. Isaiah in the 26th chapter says, in the first verse, in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him. Why? Because he trusteth in Him. Trust ye in the Lord Jehovah, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That's where I want to abide. I am challenged this morning to remain unabashedly, without reserve, 100% on the side of God. I want to serve Him. I want Him to be my God. I want to be part of His people. And I can be. He promised me that I could do that. God's elect, they're on the winning side. They've always been on the winning side. In the past, in the present, in the future, God's people are on the winning side. And everyone that is not on the side of God, you will find yourself not on the winning side. We are called to trust in the Lord because the Scripture here tells us that in the Lord is everlasting strength. And it is a strength that is extended to every single person who is willing to put their trust in Him. The captain of the Lord of hosts this morning has never experienced the taste of defeat. We are serving a God today. We are talking about a God this morning that is the same God who brought the children of Israel out of bondage, delivered them from Pharaoh, delivered them from Egypt. We're talking about the God this morning that opened up the Red Sea, that allowed them to pass over on dry land. This is the God who gave great victory to Joshua against a walled city that was stronger than they were in a miraculous way. This is the God who extended victory and gave victory to Gideon against the Midianites in a wonderful way. This is the God who raised the dead. The God who raised and gave healing to the lame, who restored sight to the blind. This is the God who brought salvation to the Jews and the Gentiles and changed their life forever. This is the God who appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration in all of His glory. This is the Lord who could not be held in the tomb. This is the God who rose to ascend to the right hand of the throne of God to make intercession for you and for me so that I could be part of His people. So that same God that we just talked about, He can be your God. You can be in His number. Yes, I know it. I know it is the case that the multitudes in the world today, it's not where the numbers are. It doesn't have to be where the numbers are. Just because the masses follow after the things of this world, the ways of this world, the way that seems right to go, that is in no way indicative of where victory and salvation and eternal life lies. That's not where it is. The Lord is calling an elect people. He is calling you by name. He is looking to you and He knows you. And He condescends to our level. And He's saying, Ed, Roberta, will you follow me? Will you come after me? I know you. I know your place. Will you follow me? Will can I be your cause? Will you allow me to be your cause? I want to be the cause. I want the Lord to be my cause. I want to follow Him. I want to be part of His people. I want to be part of that holy nation. I want to be part of that royal priesthood. I want to be part of the people that have been called out of the darkness that the masses populate and call light. Yes. And so I have a question this morning for each one of you. Whose side are you on? Really, whose side are you on? It's a question we must be honest with ourselves about. Are you on the side of the Almighty God always? Have you committed yourself to Him in every area of your life? From morning until night, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Is He your cause? Do you find yourself, we read when we started this morning where Moses, he told the children, well, it wasn't the children of Levi yet, he told all of them, he said, who will stand with the Lord? And God is asking us this morning, He's asking all of you, who will stand with me? And the scripture said, that the children of Levi came. They got up from where they were. He didn't ask for a show of hands. He didn't say, who will be on my side? And everybody could just stay where they were and say, oh, I'm on your side. Count me in. But He said, get up from where you are. If you're on the side of God, be willing to make a separation. Be willing to leave behind those things that pull on your heart, that you are drawn after. Be willing to get up and arise and come and stand with me over here. And it said the children of Levi, they got up from where they were. Don't you know that that wasn't so easy? There's a reason why nobody else came over with them. But they did. And so can I, and so can you. They got up from where they were, and they went and they aligned themselves with God and with His way. Are you aligned with the children of Levi this morning? Or do you find yourself repeatedly trying to justify your ways and your actions, trying to repeatedly convince yourself and others and God that you're on His side? While you participate, while you are in allegiance with, while you are in fellowship with the ways of the world. It won't work that way, dear ones. Are you aligned with the children of Levi? Are you aligned with Joshua, who in his dying exhortation, you remember what he said? He said, if it seem evil unto you this day to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. What side are you going to be on? Make a decision. Come to grips with the fact that whether you make a decision out loud or not, you are making a decision. People say, well, I'm still thinking about it. And well, I'm not sure about some things. It's going to take me a little while. I need to pray about it. You need to pray about getting saved? You need to pray about whether it's right to be aligned with God. Be willing to choose this day because you're making a choice. You can't put it off. If you've put off the choice, it's because you've already made a choice for that day. Joshua looked out there and he said, listen, he said, are you going to serve the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the flood? You can do that. That's an option. Or you can serve the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. You're not living in the land of Amorites this afternoon, this morning, but you are living in a land of people who by the masses do not serve God. And there are gods all around us that the masses, the multitudes are serving. And Joshua asked the question, just as he might here this morning, choose who you're going to serve. Yes, there are these other gods. Yes, there are these other ways. Yes, you can align yourself with something that may seem more convenient to you at the time. Oh, but he stood and he said, it's for me and my house. He didn't have to wait for an answer to see who the majority was going to be. He said, it for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. This is the way we're going to go. Regardless of the way that the world may go, regardless of the way that my loved ones may go, I'm going to serve the Lord. That's the people that I'm going to be associated with. Are you aligned with the people as Joshua was? As the children of Levi? How about the great heroes of faith that trusted and served the Lord even when there were answers that had not yet come to them? I want to be part of that people. I want to have a faith that carries me through those times where I look and say, Lord, I don't understand. Lord, how could this happen? Lord, I don't understand this truth. I don't know this particular piece right here. Listen, step out into the water of faith. Move on out. Be part of those heroes of faith. Are you aligned with them? Are they your people? I want them to be my people. The Lord, are you aligned with Jesus? Who was willing to suffer persecution? He was willing to suffer those times where no doubt his sense of justice in the human way of thinking had to have been offended. It wasn't right. It wasn't fair. He was the Son of God. And yet he carried the cross to the hill of Golgotha and gave his life. And then he comes to us and he says, will you come and follow after me? Will you be willing to take up your cross? Will you be willing to deny yourself and follow me? Oh, the reward of following Jesus. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. He wants to give us an expected end. But he can't give us an expected end. Not a good end. If we're not willing to align ourselves with the Lord 100%. There are alternatives. Do you find yourself perhaps aligned with the congregation of those that are like the young rich ruler? Doesn't that story pull on your heartstrings? A man who loved God in seemed like so many ways. A man who gave himself apparently to understand the law. Because he knew what the law was. He was following it in so many respects. And he went and he sought out the Lord. And he sought out Jesus. And he came to him and he said, Lord, what must I do to be saved? And the Lord looked on him. And he loved him. And he loves you. And he spoke to him the thing that was so close to his heart. The Lord will come by and he will speak to you about the thing that is so hard for you to let go of. The thing that is so close to your heart. That thing that just seems like you can't get it to go away in the back of your mind. It just seems to nag. You want to live closer to the Lord and you want everything to be clear, but there's just something that's just keeping you from having that perfect peace. Do you know what I'm talking about? I've been there. I suspect you have, if you've lived any amount of time. But you have a choice to make when you come to that point. This man had a choice. He came to the Lord and the Lord touched it with love. But he turned away. It was too hard. It was like many of the other disciples, the scripture tells us. They turned away from him and walked away and said, it's a hard saying. Have you been there? Do you find yourself aligned with the young rich ruler who, in so many ways, you love the Lord and you don't want to violate his laws? You've been trying to live to his laws. And yet you find there's those maybe few things that just hinder you in your spiritual life. And the Lord's saying, will you give me that? Will you lay it down on the altar so that I can give you abundant life? And yet, maybe you find yourself walking away. Or are you taken with the pleasures of this world? Do you find yourself aligned with those that just seem to can't break away from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? And if you're like me, many can sit out in the congregation this morning and say, well, we're on a subject that I don't have to worry about because lust is not part of me. You know, as Christians, when we hear that word, we want to disassociate ourselves from it. We think, I don't have that part of my life. And yet, what is it? It's that causes us to live to those things of this world and this life, those things that our eyes are drawn after, those things that our ears are drawn after that sound pleasing to us, the places that we want to go. Where the world goes, the entertainment of the world, all that it has to offer. And we continually tell ourselves, I'm not addicted to it. It doesn't have a hold on my life. It doesn't have a hold on my heart. I love the Lord. I know I'm glad He looks after my heart. He can see over that. Or perhaps, there'll be a more convenient season. This is the time. This is my opportunity. I've been there. School, high school, college. This is your time. You're only young once. How many times have you heard that? You're right. You're only young once. And so many times people that are young and at that formative stage of life, you make decisions that cast the direction for the rest of your life. And the enemy knows that. Young people, young married folks, listen. Choose the way of the Lord. Err on the side of Jesus. Don't walk the gray zones. Don't hang out in the gray zones. Don't go after that way. There's danger out there and the enemy knows it. Perhaps you're part of those who are deceived into thinking that you're rich and increased with goods, and yet the scripture says, know ye not that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Oh, there are so many people among us today that it almost seems like they feel like they've figured out that perfect right compromise. How to live for the Lord, how to be saved, and kind of how to do what you want to do too. Thinking that all is okay. And yet the Lord's saying, don't you know? There's a problem. You need help. Who was he talking to? He was talking to the churches when he gave that. He was talking to the churches. Don't be deceived today. Whose side are you on? Are you convinced of it? Is the Lord convinced of it? Are those that watch the pattern of your life, can they say, that is a woman? That is a man of God. I want to expose the enemy in another way this morning. We live in a world today where people like to say, well, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. Why, they're just being judgmental. Why, it's just between me and the Lord. The Lord told us, you go out into all the world and you preach the gospel. And you be a light to the world as a city that's set on a hill that can't be hid, because it does matter what other people think of you. And it matters what they think of me. And yes, I'm concerned on what people think about what I do, because it's a reflection of my Lord. And I have a commission to go into the world and take the gospel and show them the way of the Lord and show them what it means to take up my cross, to show them what it means that yes, there's some sacrifice, but oh, the reward that comes with it. Without sacrifice, there is no eternal reward. Who are you aligned with? Don't be deceived. Don't be in the place where you continually tell yourself, I can do it both ways and it'll be okay. Don't be as the five foolish virgins. Those that they hung out with the five wise virgins. They were unspotted from the sin of the world. That's how they were defined. They were virgins, but they were foolish. What happened? They lost their oil. They lost the power of the Holy Spirit. Somewhere along the way, they let things come in and steal away that was required that when the Lord came back, that their testimony was worth something. All of them had lanterns, right? Isn't that what the story said? They all had lanterns. They all had testimonies. They all could hold it up and say, I'm a saint of God. I'm a Christian. I'm aligned with God. But it took more than that. It took something that went way beyond their testimony. It required something that the children of Levi were willing to do. To get up and to arise from where you are. And to move where the oil was. Move where the power is. Be willing to be consistent, dependable servants of God. I want to be there. The scripture tells us that we read, there's a strong city. God will appoint for walls and bulwarks. The good news is, folks, no matter where you are this morning, you can be part of this people of victory. Have you experienced the river of life? There is a river. Thank the Lord. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. This is not a way of, oh, it's just, I'm sure glad to be saved, but oh, it's a rough one, but I'm glad. Yes, there are those times, but there's a river that supports us. There's a river that holds us up. There's a hope that goes beyond this life. Yes, there's heartache. Yes, there's times of trial. Yes, there's tribulation. There was a verse this morning. In this world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. And by extension, so can you if you're willing. If you'll be willing to come and drink of the water of life. There is not only life, but abundant life. Have you experienced it? Are you aligned where that water of life is? Or are you hanging out in the spiritual waiting pools? So many people deprive themselves of what the Lord has because they're playing in the waiting pools. The little kiddie pools that you can buy. That's not swimming. Have you stepped out into the water? Have you let go of all of the things that this world has to offer, including your own wants and desires? Get out into the water. Are you just dabbling your toes? You know, there's no risk in that. I dabble my toes, and if I don't like it, I can go back. I can kind of do whatever I want. That's not where the Lord wants us. The Lord's saying, come on out. Come on out. He walked on the water to the boat. He told Peter, come on out. Might look impossible to you. You might not understand why and how you can walk on water. But the Lord said, come on out. The Lord is saying to you this morning, come on out. Come walk out in the water. Immerse yourself in the water. Immerse yourself in the good things that I have to offer you. And yet the enemy comes so often and he tries to make us view these walls of protection and salvation and holiness and righteousness. Be careful when you start viewing those walls of protection as things that you believe begin to hinder your personal opportunity. That's the enemy. It's a lie. It's deceitful. You start listening to that and you start believing that you can somehow figure out how to remain and have the blessings inside the walls while you can kind of go outside and dwell out there for a while. That is the deceit of the enemy. And it will capture you. It will ensnare you to the point that sometimes when you want to go back in, you find that you can't just turn around and go back in just as easy as you thought you could. The enemy would like us to look out on the other side. Get our eyes off Jesus. Get our eyes off of our end goal. Get our eyes off of where He would have us to focus on, to bring glory to Him and bring everyone else we can to salvation in the gospel. And begin looking outside and thinking, you know, is there a way that I can live for the Lord and be out there? Is there a way? And pretty soon there will be a way that the enemy presents to you. There is a way that seemeth right unto man. And pretty soon we're saying, you know, I think these folks inside the walls, they don't really understand. They're good people. Good people. Mean well. They're just a little simple-minded. They just don't think outside. God is a big God, we tell ourselves, and He is. You see how the enemy puts truth and falsehoods all together? Why, God's a big God. Why, He's a bigger God than this little group, or He's a bigger God than where you have your stake in the ground of a standard of protection, of holiness and righteousness that keeps you from the very thing that will take your soul. And we hold on to those things and say, this is wise. This is something the Lord would be pleased with because I want Him to know. I don't want to take chances with my soul. I don't want to get involved with those things that will carry me out into the world. And the enemy says, God's bigger than that. Come on out. And we start listening to that. And pretty soon we find ourselves on the other side of the wall. We find ourselves pushing that voice of the Spirit away until pretty soon we become part of the number who says, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. And you don't. You don't, because you've been deceived. Because you've pushed away so many times that pretty soon you can look me right in the eyes and with honesty. I used to have difficulty with that. I'd think, you know better than that. You don't think that's right. You're just saying that. Until I got to the place where I realized there is a place where you can get, where you can be honest with other people and say, I don't see anything wrong with it. And you don't. Because you have allowed yourself to become deceived. And in the Lord's mercy, He will come back. He'll come along. He'll send messages. He'll talk to you with His Spirit. But that is a dangerous place to play. Don't go there. I want to read a sentence that D.A. Carson wrote. People do not drift toward holiness. Apart from grace-driven effort, people do not gravitate towards godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift towards compromise and we call it tolerance. We drift towards disobedience and we call it freedom. We drift towards superstition and we call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control and call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness and delude ourselves into thinking we have escaped legalism. We slide toward godlessness and convince ourselves that we have been liberated. And folks, all the while professing to be on the side of God, it concerns me. I am burdened with it because I see it more and more and more. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to remind you of one more account before we close this morning. Do you remember the account of Gideon and the Mennonite and the Midianites? Do you remember how many people he called to come to the battle? Anybody remember how many he called initially? Everybody. He said, y'all come. Everybody has the opportunity to come do battle. And the Lord looked at that and he said, it won't do. It won't do because the Lord's purpose and his desire was for the glory to be brought to him in the battle. And at the same time, he wanted a people, even though he was going to win the battle. And I could spend a whole other message on this, and I promise you I won't. He told the people, I want the glory to come to me. But he wanted a people who would give their all to it. And so many people today say, well, the Lord's already paid the price. Responsibility's off me. Everything's covered. The Lord paid it. The story tells us he wanted a people that would bring glory to him, but he was looking for a people who were willing to give him their all. And so he told Gideon, isn't going to do. Give them a choice. Tell the ones who don't want to go this way, they can go home. And the majority of people went home. Of the 32,000 people that were there, 22,000 people went away. And that is just like it is in our world today. Yes. Most people, when given the choice to go to battle for the Lord, they risk some things. Those people who chose to stay risk some things. But then there were those who said, I really don't want to go there. I really don't want to take the risk. And they went home. But the story wasn't over. There was 10,000 people left. Listen, 10,000 people who said, yes, we'll go. We'll fight for the Lord. We'll put our lives at stake. They did. But the Lord looked on it and said, not good enough yet. He's looking for an elect people who are willing to be unabashedly 100% completely without reserve on the side of the Lord. And he told Gideon, he said, there's going to need to be another separation. Go have them drink at the water. And so they all went down there, and 9,700 people, oh, they needed a drink. It seemed like it ought to be okay. It seemed like that the Lord wouldn't be displeased with that. And I can just see them, if you'll allow me just a little bit of liberty, looking around. I don't see the enemy where around. I think everything ought to be okay. I think I can lay this down for just a little bit. And they laid their armor down. They laid down their weaponry. They put their back to the battle, if you will. And they took a risk. You know why? Because it's so much more satisfying to put your head in the water and drink than lap like a dog. That's not as satisfying. And yet there was a few people who were willing to continue to be ready. They were willing to give up some things even in the midst of the battle. They were willing to not take spiritual risks. Are you taking spiritual risks today? Are you in the place where, yes, Lord, I'll go. Yes, I'll sacrifice. Lord, I'm willing to be part of the number. But do you find yourself at time kind of looking around thinking, I don't see anything so wrong with this. I think I don't see the enemy anywhere. I pretty much know what I need to do. And you're willing to lay it down just for a little while? Be encouraged this morning. Be on the side of God and be ready at all times. Give your life to Him. Be willing to drink with one hand if you need to. Be willing to sacrifice some things. Be willing to arise and walk away from those that are close to you if it is pulling you away from the Lord. Moses said, those that are going to be on the Lord's side, come stand over here. Be willing to do that this morning. Have a cause that is greater than yourself. The Lord is calling you by your name. He's calling to every person here, regardless of where you are, regardless of what's in your background, regardless of the state that you find yourself in this morning. The Lord is calling you by name, saying, come, you can do it. I'll help you do it. Have a testimony. Live your life so that you can say, as the scripture said in Revelations, that no matter what you're doing, no matter what time the Lord comes, no matter what you're looking at, no matter what you're listening to, no matter what crowd you're with, no matter where your mind is, no matter where and how you're spending your time, that you can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, here am I, send me. And as Paul on the way to Damascus, he said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? I want that to be my prayer. I want that to be my testimony. I want it to be the story of my life. And I want it to be yours too. Whose side are you on? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is the way of victory. Amen. 4:8